Let's get back to the action on the Keystone Kickoff Show. Brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. Get the best Penn State sports news and analysis at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com or download the Keystone Sports app from your smartphone.
Welcome back onto the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network, KeystoneSportsNetwork.com. Dustin Hawkinsmith here. We have abandoned Greg Pickle in favor of an upgrade. Stephen Lassen from Athlon Sports, he's a college football editor there. They've done a lot of good work so far previewing the college football season. We're going to talk to him all about it. Stephen, thanks for joining us.
Hey, Dustin. It's great to join you. I appreciate you having me on. Never too early to start talking college football, especially as we're trying to make it through this long off season.
Yeah, well, that's the thing. I mean, the off season starts to disappear a little bit in this nonstop consumption market that we're in. And you guys have really gotten out in front with some rankings and team previews and looking at the toughest games for teams. It's really been a nonstop buffet, so to speak. So I wanted to get your thoughts on some of those things you've put out. And I know the Big Ten was one of the early things that you guys looked at. I wanted to start with, you just did your 1 through 130. I guess it was, late last week that you guys did that. And I'm just curious, as an editor of the publication, how many people get involved in those, how it comes together, and just pull back the curtain a little bit for the production of those rankings.
Yeah, you know, our ranking process actually starts right after signing day. Once we get past signing day, you have a good idea of who is going to be on every roster, freshmen that could play. You also have a pretty good idea of coaching changes by that point, too. So we kind of start to informally meet as a staff starting in February, and we really meet a couple times in March and in April. And once we get to the end of spring practice for all the teams, that's when we finalize our predictions. And our process is, you know, we get together as a staff and we'll spend a day talking about the Big Ten and we'll spend a day talking about the SEC. So, you know, I think throughout the process, through kind of informally meeting in February and March, you kind of get an idea of where we're going with our predictions by late April. So once we, you know, we meet by conference, and we'll talk about the 1 through 7 order in the Big Ten East. We'll argue about it for a while. A lot of times there's disagreement. We try to come to a consensus, and sometimes, you know, it gets down to, you know, my boss, Mitch Light, finally kind of has the final say-so on our predictions. If we're stuck in a stalemate, it's usually about 3 to 5 people who are in the room discussing our predictions, too. And once we have them by conference, we go to our 130 overall. And, you know, kind of interesting on the 130, a lot of times in the past, you know, 7, 8 years ago, number one, number two was always kind of an easy debate. But, you know, was actually a much harder debate. The last couple of years, it's been very easy for us. You know, Alabama has just been so good. It's hard to pick against them. So, you know, I think what we've seen is we've been arguing more in our 130 rankings about 2 through 12 every season. But that's how we do it. You know, once we get our conference predictions done, we start nominating teams for number one, number two, and we just kind of work our way down the list. And we've organized them based upon our projections and projected records. And also at some point in the rankings, we just start saying, if these two teams played on a neutral field, here's what we know about them, and here's who we would pick.
Yeah, I guess you have to have some kind of set rule or standard by which you're going to break ties, and that's as good as any of them. Penn State at number 11, I believe, in the top 130, and I know that from a national standpoint, this is a tough team to figure. Obviously, the loss of Saquon Barkley is something that takes center stage, but there's some personnel losses in the core of the defense. But also, you know, it's a program, I think, over 2016 and 2017 that I would call semi-proven. You know, I think the last 2 years they've been right there in the thick of it. So now you take that, you take the personnel things to consider. And I think number 11 is fair, but how difficult was it to try to pinpoint what you think Penn State's going to do this year?
It was difficult. You know, the entire Big Ten East, I think, was our toughest division to predict. And, you know, we looked at all four teams pretty extensively for kind of all the spots. You know, we had a pretty spirited debate on Ohio State or Michigan, Penn State and Michigan State. I think for Penn State, you know, this, to me, this is a program that is clearly trending up. 22 wins, you know, over the last couple of years, back-to-back New Year's Six bowl game, a Big Ten championship. There's a lot to like about what James Franklin has done. The recruiting is going well. I just think this program has moved significantly up. If you had to buy stock in a program, you'd want to buy it in Penn State. When you look at this team for this season, I think the schedule is one of the reasons to believe that Penn State can go back to the Big Ten championship. I mean, the fact that, you know, Ohio State and Michigan State and Wisconsin all come to Happy Valley is huge when you're talking about four teams that are pretty close in the overall power ranking. So I think you have to like the trajectory, the schedule. The fact that Penn State has a proven quarterback and Trace McSorley is huge too. But you mentioned it, the concerns about the defense, you know, only two returning starters by our metric. There are question marks at every level. I think this is going to be a group in transition. Brent Pry has done a nice job since he took over for Bob Shoup, but this is going to be a pretty big assignment in keeping this defense near the top of the conference. You know, offensively, don't have too many concerns. I know that losing Saquon Barkley is huge. I think that maybe the biggest kind of question that Penn State's offense is going to have to answer is what kind of difference will it make having a different play caller? Joe Moorhead was so good at getting this offense to the top of the Big Ten, so dynamic that this group became with him in control. And I think there's going to be some, his loss will be felt by this offense this season. I think Miles Sanders will be a capable replacement for Saquon Barkley, especially as the offensive line improves. But, you know, this team will be in the thick of the Big Ten East with that schedule and Trace McSorley. I think winning it comes down to how quickly the defense transitions with just two returning starters and also, you know, the new play caller without Joe Moorhead. What types of tweaks do we see during the season? I think it's very easy to be a play caller for a bowl game when you have a month to prepare. But when you only have a week or two within the season to get ready for Michigan, Ohio State, that's where I'm curious to see if there's any difference.
Here's another thing with that. When you're in the week-to-week grind and you're in the pressure cooker, then you're suddenly looking at, if the offense doesn't perform, you know, you're looking at different types of pressures and public expectations and that kind of thing. So there's something to grow into. I think it's the Keystone Kickoff. So we're talking to Stephen Lassen from Athlon about Penn State's chances in 2018 and how they're viewed on a national level. I think one thing that's not lost even on a lot of Penn State fans is that you have this team that's ranked number 11 in the country that really through most of the people who are doing All-America teams and that kind of thing has only one guy who's a real obvious contender for All-America status. And for you guys, I think he was a fourth teamer, is Trace McSorley. But this whole dynamic, it kind of reminds me of 2016 a little bit, where there's just a lot of guys whose best seasons are still probably going to come in 2018, but there's not a lot of well-recognized talent, and you see it in your All-America teams.
Yeah, you know, I think what's interesting about the quarterback position in college football this year is the big names that are gone. Lamar Jackson, Sam Darnold, you know, we had a significant talent drain at quarterback from last season to this season. So I think the opportunity is there for Trace McSorley to easily exceed our 14th pick. You know, I should say too, on our all-conference teams and our All-America team, we do try to project ahead. So what we're saying is, you know, but at the end of the year, when you look at the All-America team, seeing how the season played out, you know, kind of projecting statistics and performance and all of that, we think Trace McSorley will finish fourth team All-America. If I was just doing a preseason All-America team, you know, I think you could make the case he should be first or second team based upon career accomplishments. So, you know, I think when you look at college football quarterbacks in general this year too, you know, we have Will Greer from West Virginia, first team, Tua Tagovailoa from Alabama, second team. So, you know, I think we're projecting some guys to take a step forward, and we think Trace McSorley probably continues to produce at the level he has the last 2 years, but just thinking that some other guys take a step forward, and maybe without Joe Moorhead, maybe the offense just isn't as explosive as it has been, but still thinking big thing for Trace McSorley this year and what should be an interesting year for quarterbacks considering the turnover there.
How did you guys come to, because I've seen different variations of Big Ten coaching rankings, and James Franklin is, again, a pretty interesting case study based on career and what he's accomplished, head-to-head record against some of these teams. But how do you arrive at, well, first of all, how do you even begin to sort of prioritize James Franklin, Mark D'Antonio, Jim Harbaugh? Because you can slice it and dice it any which way. You've got James Franklin number three in the conference behind Urban Meyer and behind Mark D'Antonio, but ahead of Jim Harbaugh. Just give me a sneak peek at the methodology and the thought about where James Franklin ranks among his peers.
It's really tough. I have to admit, it's almost impossible because it is a subjective list. But I think in our mind, and you know, I live here in Tennessee, so I got a chance to see what James Franklin did at Vanderbilt up close. And the transformation at Vanderbilt was pretty remarkable. Back-to-back 9-win seasons, getting Vanderbilt in the top 25. I think you've seen that same kind of success translate to Penn State, where he's recruiting at a high level. He's elevated the program in the success over the last 2 years, and I think a lot of great things to come. So I think in our mind, what we try to do with the coach rankings is kind of a two kind of pillar approach. The first one is we look at a coach's career bio, you know, what they've done in their career, where they've done it, the level of success. And then the second part of that, I think, is kind of our subjective ranking of, if all these coaches were available tomorrow, who would you hire? And I think in our mind, Franklin versus Harbaugh was one of the toughest decisions we had to make. And I think we gave the nod to Franklin largely because of the success he's had the last 2 years, winning the Big Ten championship, getting to a New Year's Six Bowl last year. And I think with Jim Harbaugh, they haven't won the division yet, but we think they will in the future. And you look at his career track record with the 49ers, with Stanford, with Michigan, it's pretty good. But I think recent success, you have to give the nod to James Franklin.
That'll be an interesting matchup. I get Penn State welcoming Ohio State early in the season. That's the one to circle for Penn State, but it could come down to, if they survive that one, having to go to Michigan later in the season and try to survive that test. Stephen Lassen from Athlon Sports giving us the lowdown on their national rankings, their Big Ten coach rankings, and everything else for Penn State football. Thank you, Stephen.
Hey, Dustin, I appreciate it. Thanks for having me on.
We'll be sure to do it again sometime. We are going to move on. Take a stand, Penn State football topics. Greg Pickle and I will take a stand on those issues. Stick around. Hey, Penn State fans, here is your chance to take something off your bucket list. That's right, GoPSU RV is offering a full range of RV setups ready for a weekend of great tailgating at their Lions Den, which is the closest single-game RV overnight lot to Beaver Stadium. You can arrive anytime Friday afternoon. Stay until Sunday morning, avoiding all that traffic. Don't miss this unique opportunity. Go online to GoPSURV.com and reserve your RV today.
Life gets complicated, and it only gets more complicated when things change, which is why AAA insurance agents take the time to talk with you so that they can help you choose the best auto and home coverage. Don't put off getting protected. Let AAA help cover what you care about. Insurance that's not just insurance. Talk to your local AAA insurance agent or visit AAA.com to learn more about AAA.
If you're looking for the largest selection of beers in the area, it's time to head on over to Route 15 Beverage Express in Dillsburg. Conveniently located right off Route 15, you will also find a great selection of local and craft beers, and you can take care of all your barbecue needs, as Route 15 Beverage now carries the great 409 Tailgate Club sauces and rubs. Head over to my favorite place, Ross Tucker, Route 15 Beverage Express. Convenient location, largest selection, and great service.